Good morning, South Fair family. What a pleasure it is being in the house of the Lord amongst God's people. If you're visiting with us this morning, let me say from our hearts to yours that we are glad that you are here. And any time that you're able to come out and worship with us here at the South Fair Church of Christ, it is our prayer that you do just that. Know that our doors swing on welcome hinges. And we're always excited and elated to have those who are visiting with us as we worship our Lord and Savior. And to the saints here at the South Fair Church of Christ, let us continue to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, keeping the main thing the main thing. And we know that that means for us here at the South Fair Church of Christ that we must continue to have a love for one another, as Christ also loved us. We also need to have a zeal and a desire for God's holy and divine word, and having a mind to work, being busy about our Father's business as we live on this time side of life. And no matter what, through the ups, through the downs, through the triumphs and the losses, know that your Father loves you as well as I do, and there is nothing you can do about that. Which one of us was given the choice of being born into the nuclear family that we were born into? None of us, right? Family conveys a sense of belonging. And one of the most obvious stamps of God's image on humanity has been the institution we call family. And like anything in God's creation, family can either do a great job of reflecting God or a horrible job. Some come from deeply sinful families, families that's full of toxicity and chaos, while others may come from slightly less damaging sinful families. And I know sometimes talking about family can be problematic and fraught with painful memories and triggers. But mostly, when we think about the idea of family, it conveys a sense of belonging. Words like safety, comfort, love, patience, kindness, generosity, forgiving, being supportive come to mind. And even if you came from a family that was a total mess, everyone still has a deep longing to be a part of something healthier when it comes to family. Amen? The Bible has so much to say about the family and God's will for it. From the teachings of Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament, it is clear that the family plays a central role, and it has also continued into Christianity. The Church of Jesus is often described in terms of family. While we cannot control those in our families that choose to live outside of the spiritual family of God, we have a choice to obey Him and be a part of His family. And doing that, we can experience the blessings and the remarkableness of being in that specific family. So that's why this morning, just for a little while, I want to talk about the remarkable, unique nature of God's family. I thought about this morning, and I wanted to just present a few points because this is my family, and I love my family. This is one of the most important units that is supporting me in my spiritual walk. And I do understand that families go through trials. Families go through tribulations. We have our ups and downs. But this morning, I just want to remind us, as we go through the ups and downs of life, as we deal with the challenges that we all are faced with individually and collectively, I want to remind you of how remarkable it is, despite what you may be facing, being in God's family. I want to study or briefly touch on the unique nature of the parts of God's family, and ultimately coming to the conclusion that the whole family is unique within itself. Brother Corey read for us this morning Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. And the infallible word of God reads, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Paul here is encouraging the church at Ephesus to strive for unity, something that we talk about quite often here at the Southfair Church of Christ. And I believe that he wanted to drive home the point of how important unity is in the church. And Paul gives as evidence seven doctrines, the nature of which motivate the church to unity in its remarkableness and uniqueness. So the unique nature and the remarkable things about God's family involves a unique thing. And the first one I want to touch on is home. We all seen The Wizard of Oz, and Dorothy said that there is no place like home. There is no place like the church. I'm referencing to one body. That is one of the remarkable and unique things about being in God's family. And this home has a unique identity, which we call the church. This home affords for us, saints, a unique relationship between members, i.e. family. It's such a remarkable thing when you are a part of God's family that you can have one body that you could call home. And this home has a unique purpose. And their unique purpose is to show forth God's wisdom. Over in Ephesians chapter 3, looking at verses 10 through 11, I will be going over a lot of scripture this morning, but I will make it quick. Verse 10 says, "So that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. He did this to show forth the purpose of wisdom of what he wanted to do, and now we have one body. Not only by being in the remarkable family of God, we also not only require being of one body, but one spirit. And that spirit is the Holy Spirit. We have our God. And his function in the Godhead is unique. And that uniqueness and remarkability is to carry out God's will. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, the infallible word of God says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come." We have a God because we have the family of being in God's family. We have one spirit. And the fact that we have that one spirit can help us. It communicates to us in a unique and remarkable manner. And that manner is through the word of God. It is the revelator of the word. It helps us understand those things. Paul said in Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 5, he says, "Which was those things were made known to the sons of men in other generations, and it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was given to them, the word of God was written for our learning." And what that does is it brings about a unique result. The Holy Spirit makes us one in spirit and church in unity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verses 12 through 14, the word of God says, "For just as the body is one, it has many members. And all the members of that body, through many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jew or Greek, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. What a remarkable thing that we receive when we are in God's family. You not only have a home, which is the body, you now have the Holy Spirit as your guide. But not only that, as your guide and having a family doesn't mean that you won't have problems, that you won't struggle, you won't go through hard times. But therefore, being a part of the remarkable and unique nature of God's family, you have a future. The third thing is a future, and that future is called one hope. Our future is based upon a unique truth, and that truth is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, the infallible word of God says, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. We have an assurance that when it's all said and done, no matter what you go through in this life, this body will deteriorate and die, but you have a spirit that will live on for eternity. And you know that you have the hope to be raised, even though this body may die, although this body may suffer, although this body may go through some things, you have the one hope of knowing that that day when God comes, when Jesus comes back, he will raise us from the dead with the hope that it involves a future of a unique moment, that resurrection from the dead. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do. Why? Because you have hope that they don't have. And that hope that you have is eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God that was not made with hands. I'm talking about eternity in heaven. See, we have a hope no matter what it is that we go through by being a part of God's family, that we can spend eternity in heaven. Not only do you have the body and one spirit, and the future of hope being in heaven. When you're in a family, there's always siblings. And in this particular family, the remarkable thing that we have is an older brother. And that older brother that we have is our Lord Jesus the Christ, our Savior. He was the one who came down for us to protect us. When you think about a big brother, when you go to school, you got to deal with bullies. We got a big brother that has dealt with the bully of the devil and all the sinful plots and the ploys and the schemes that he tries to bring our way. We have a big brother who is willing to stand for us and help us. Not only is he a big brother that helps us, he is unique in his person because he is both God and man in Matthew chapter 22, 41 through 46. Not only is he unique in that fashion, he is also unique because he has showed us how to live a life of servitude. As a big brother, he has shown you the way of how to love, how to treat, how to walk, how to talk, how to interact with individuals. We have a big brother who has given us the proper example. And above all, we have a big brother who not only is willing to fight for us, he is also willing to die. And he did so on the cross. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 says, he entered once for all into the holy places, and not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. He died a unique death, which makes him being a unique part of this family, our brother who died on the cross for our sins. Not only being a part of this remarkable and unique family, do you have one body? Do you have one spirit? Do you have a future, which is heaven alone? You also gained a brother, which was Jesus the Christ. But let me tell you something. When you're in a remarkable and unique family, which is the family of God, you are rich and you are wealthy. And as you all know, that people who are rich and wealthy, they have a brand that they want to protect. They have what we call a standard in which they live by, because they want to make sure that they're representing their name and their family properly. Well, we too have a God that loves us, and we are rich and wealthy. And it's so important for us to live by the standard. And that standard for us as being in this remarkable family is one faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. It is uniquely inspired by the word of God. And this one faith that we have as being in this remarkable family, it contains what we have as a unique message. And that message is the message of salvation that we bring to all. The same one we receive when we needed to let the scales fall from our eyes and love and walk as one. He says in John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That is the standard that this remarkable family that we are a part of does. And not only does it do that, it provides a unique plan for us. And that plan is the plan of salvation. By becoming righteous, being in his family, that is a unique thing that separates us from everyone else. In Romans chapter 1, looking at verses 16 and 17, it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. You see, it is unique attributes that are involved in being a part of this remarkable and unique family. You have a home to go to, which is the church. You have the Spirit to guide you, which is the Holy Spirit. You have a future in heaven after this body is dead and gone. You have an older brother who guides you and protects you while you're on this time side of life, striving to hit that perfect perfection and that mark. And now you have a standard in knowing what it is and what's required of you, of one faith. And now that you have that, being in the remarkable family and uniqueness of this family, comes about a birth. And that birth that I'm talking about is one baptism. And the reason why it's unique, because it is a second birth for you. You were born through the womb of your mother, but now you can be born in the spiritual realm through the Savior Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3 and verse 5, he says, and Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What a remarkable thing to have as being a part of God's family, to be in his kingdom. And it has a unique likeness. And that unique likeness is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what does that mean for us? It means that we were once in this world, right? And we were living like this world, but we too can die to ourselves and living and looking like this world and being buried in water, dying to our old man and woman mindset and the way that we act each and every day, rising up as Christ was resurrected, as new creatures in Christ, living for him, striving to tell all about how good he is. And that wonderful thing about that birth brings about the uniqueness of the consequences that we deserve. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, right, for the forgiveness of sin. That new birth that you have will get rid of the sin, the weight of it, the fact that you are separated from God forever. Being in God's family is a remarkable thing, because not only do you have the home, the church, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the future, which is your heavenly home, your older brother, which is Jesus, and the standard, which is one faith, and the birth, which is one baptism, you also receive something that many and many of us desire to have, and that is a loving father. We receive a loving father when we are a part of this remarkable family.
family. And that Father is the one God and the Father of all. He, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 27, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. The Father that you receive has the authority to do it all, the unique authority to take care of any and everything, to speak it, to proclaim it. He is your Father. And the great thing about that is that you have a unique love from him, a unique love that you don't receive from every single person in your family that we have in the physical. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, but God showed his love for us while we were sinners. He died for us. I'm saying all these things, saint, to remind you of how remarkable it is to be in the family of God. Again, we all go through things, but the most remarkable thing about it all is he has not only a unique authority and a unique love, he has a unique justice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Saints, there are all unique and remarkable attributes of the family of God. And in closing, I want you to remember, God's family is unique, not because we say so. It's because he has done so by creating the home for us, the church, by giving us the Holy Spirit, one Spirit, by allowing us to have a future beyond the one that we see with our physical eyes, giving us a big brother, Jesus the Christ, to walk with us, to guide us, to give us the example of how we ought to be when we're living here in this world. And then understanding the standard that we must live by and we shall never waver, and that is one faith. And with that one faith comes about one birth, the birth spiritually into his family and receiving him as a father with all authority in his hand. The question I pose for you this morning is, if you're not a part of God's unique and remarkable family, my question is, why don't you become a part of it today? If you're here this morning and you have had some issues and some problems within your family unit and you need to be restored, let that be known. If you're struggling with sin in the body, then let that be known. And if you have not made up your mind to be in this family, why don't you do so by putting Christ on and baptism this morning? The question is, why do you wait? Why do you wait on receiving the remarkable and unique benefits of being a part of God's family? Why wait? Why hesitate? If you're here this morning and you are subject to the invitation, please come now as together we stand and we sing.